Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Dennis Johnson and Ambassador Dr. Clyde Maskell. Of course, he had to leave, but I'd like to thank him again on your behalf for coming to try to clear up a number of issues with the NIS. So we go on, of course, to 1:30, and we try to get as many of your calls as possible. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How are you today?
I'm good, and you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Right, first time I'm calling. Dr. Maskell already left.
Yes, he left at 12:30.
Right, because I have some questions for him. Anyhow, I've tried to put one to you, and then it will be a statement. The question is, like, why did the government go after those select individuals in such a harsh way with the, you know, with the debentures and so on? Most of those persons are old and not working, and most of them would have put in, you know, all their savings. Some of them would probably die before they could recover any of that money. Not to mention some persons might go mental or become suicidal. They said it was a whole grown program. But it's a good thing it was, because if it wasn't, I don't know what would happen. The other thing is, you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Yes. Going forward, you think that persons would want to make such an investment again?
Okay, let me, there are two parts to your question. The first thing is that you said that the government went after these people. That is, the characterization of that is not what happened. And Dr. Maskell, I think, explained it pretty well. He made the point consistently that there was close to $500 million that you had to look to deal with. And they looked at that whole restructuring program from that perspective. But I keep hearing people talk about the individuals and whatnot. I also have information here, because I was at the breakfast meeting when it was announced. And if you're hearing papers rustling through, I'm just looking for the amount of people who are pensioners, who are individuals, who actually have money in this thing, because these are the numbers that we're talking about. We're talking about the total number of individuals. Okay, before, let me preface what I'm saying. I am not saying that just because it's a small number of people that it is okay. I am not saying that. But the impression that is being given is that there's a lot of people who are being hurt in this way. If one person is hurt, it's not good. I agree.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we really can't have it going abroad that, you know, it is a lot of people involved here. But I want to give you the exact number, you and everybody calling here. In terms of the individuals who have invested in this government paper, there are 1,200 people. And they have invested 91 million, 91.095 million dollars in these bonds, government paper. The vast majority, 989, have invested just under $100,000. Okay, the largest figure after that is between $101,000 to $200,000. 122 persons have invested, okay, and I can go right up to over a million. Nine people have invested over a million, but the whole point is that 989 person individuals have invested just under $100,000 as individuals. Okay, just give me a second. The second one, pensioners. There's 1,725 pensioners who are affected. Of this figure, 1,120 have invested less than $100,000. Okay? And the next number after that is 214 who have invested between $101,000 to $200,000. And then there are 123 who have invested $201,000 to $300,000. And then there's 73 who have invested over $1 million.
Yeah,
now, as I said, just let me finish. As I said, I am not trying to give the impression that, oh, okay, so it's just a few people, so then it's all right. No, I'm not saying that. I'm simply trying to make the point well, I'm just trying to give the statistics so that people would know the volume of people who are involved. It cannot be easy for a person, and this is answering now your second question.
Uh-huh.
It cannot be easy when a person has gone on their pension and they have a lump sum of money. Instead of going to the bank to put that money down, uh-huh. you have been seduced or wooed, call it what you want, by the interest rate being offered by the government, which was 5 or 6% at the time. I really can't remember how much it was at the time.
Uh-huh.
You go and invest that money because, after all, government can't go broke.
Uh-huh.
And this is the confidence that they would have had in the government, in the government paper being offered at that interest rate. And they have done that, and now they're getting this haircut. It is unfair to that person, and that is why it is a problem. And everyone has a right to complain. But at the same time they have a right to complain, you have to look at the, from, and I'm speaking simply for me, I personally did not, because I was one of the people who basically like retired, had a pension, and was going to invest it. I didn't go for it because I thought it was unsustainable. Uh-huh. What was happening. So it didn't make any sense to me. So I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Other people did it. And now this haircut is coming because the government was spending at that time, spending more money, much, much more money than they were earning. That was the first problem. The second problem is that to ensure they could continue their bad habits, they reduce the interest, they allow the banks, the commercial banks, to have their way with the interest rate, so that, and then they came with their scheme with the bonds so that they can get all this money coming in to keep on feeding that bad habit. And from a practical perspective, it just didn't make sense to me. But that is just me, okay?
Yeah. But, okay, tell me something. How would you feel to be on a bus with, say, 40 persons, and somebody said, well, maybe 10 of you should die today, and then you're a call-out among, you're a call-out, 10 persons. Why would it have to be you? I'm saying that the people are paying a big price because I'm in a circle, and I happen to know quite a few persons that are affected, and I don't know the whole of Barbados. So I'm saying that how do you pacify a man that cannot pay bills anymore, cannot go to the supermarket, cannot live the type of life? And a couple of years ago, the government were begging persons to come on, invest.
So that
they were doing that then because they were trying to lure people into getting their money.
That is why, and I don't know if Dennis is going to cut this, but that is why that was so wrong to do, because it was not sustainable. And I mean, you know, and it goes back to the whole thing with Clico as well, when they were offering that flexible, I can't remember the full thing.
Right?
You know, because hold on a second. When anything looks too good, you got to take a step back and say, okay, this looks too good to be true. That is me, okay?
But the government bonds didn't look too good to be true. You were told that.
But they were, in my view. I mean, this is after the fact, and it really doesn't help the situation now. But why they looked too good to be true to me is because when you look at the environment in which it was being offered, you had increased the limit. The central bank had increased the limit that increased the amount that the commercial banks had to hold. Okay. So that was one way of getting more money out of the banks, so that the government could continue spending money without checking what they were doing. It was wrong, and that is what I saw as a little person. That's what I saw. So the environment was wrong.
If it was a homegrown program, why did they look at the ministers and so on before that would have really been able to take a big part of the pie? Why couldn't they just cut their pension as a restructure as well? That wouldn't that be a possibility as well?
You can't do that, man. If this government were to do that, they would set a serious precedent. You cannot cut a person's pension like that. And if I was one of those former ministers in the Democratic Labour Party, if I was a former minister in the Democratic Labour Party and this government cut my pension, I would carry him to court.
So we should be able to carry the government to court then, because how could you hold on people like Savis, who might have children with, you never know, disabilities, people are sick, people are dying, people are in homes waiting to pay their money, and they have to be running around now like they're chickens trying to find out what to do, and probably beg and become depressed and sick. This is madness. So they need to look at that and see what they can do to make these people more comfortable. They should not have to suffer because of bad management in the past. Then why should you have to suffer because of that? I think a lot of people that are doing these things do not have any investments in those areas, so therefore it's not a problem. You know, so they need to look at these.
But Dr. Maskell did give an undertaking that it is being looked at.
They better look at it, because it is very serious.
And based on what I am hearing, I'm sure they are looking at it. But
they better look at it. Otherwise, they're going to have a lot of crazy people guessing on Barbados, and the government going to have to.
But again, you see, that is why I just give those exact statistics of how many people are involved. Because you see what you're saying, all these people, we're talking 2,000 people. And 2,000 people, yes, is a lot of people. When you look at it against a population of 280,000, then you see how it is going, okay? Then you see how it is going. But the fact about it is, and I can only tell you what Dr. Maskell said, he said it's going to be looked at, but at the same time, based on how things are planned, you know that you plan on a macro level. And it was looked at from a macro perspective, and I understand what was that.
And they're talking about there's a homegrown program. So who sit among the table then here in Barbados and decide, well, take somebody bonds from them? Who would have been home? What's so homegrown about that? That means that you're heartless then, because, I mean, maybe the IMF did it. I don't know who did it, but, I mean, if the government did it here in Barbados, I mean, that's crazy.
But, ma'am, I can't speak for the government. I can only speak for myself. When you are going to make a plan to do anything, okay, you look at the whole picture and you look at the figures that you need to arrive at and you make certain decisions on that. In every aspect of any type of restructuring, of any change, people are going to be impacted. Look, right now, when you're talking about, okay, you have to look at the Barbados Water Authority, the Transport Board, and you have to cut costs, for example. I just call those names, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of saying SOEs. But when you have to look at them, people are going to be impacted. Because why? The wage bill is high. If you want to cut costs, you got to cut some people.
Across the board,
okay, you cut across the board. Okay, hold a second now. Hold a second. Give me a second. So, okay, you have 500, I'm just using a figure, you have 500 people working at the Transport Board, for example. Mm-hmm. All right?
Yeah.
Why should this 50 go home and not that other 50?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, what you are saying to me, I understand, but it will always be an issue. It will always be a question, because it's always, why me? Why do I have to suffer? Why couldn't somebody else suffer? And why
I understand all of that.
So that's just it.
Why did it go so deep? If they had to do something about the money, why did it go so deep to have persons to have to wait for 5 years? A lot of those people in 5 years are going to be dead or very depressed. So I'm saying that if you had to take a shot.
When did Clico belly up? 2009, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And the fact about the matter is that a number of people would have died with Clico. There are some people who would say to you, people invested in Clico because of greediness, so whatever happened to them was well deserved. The last government said, no, we will try to help.
Right.
And they tried, just a second, please. And they tried to help by putting in place a program, and they now have the Enlico, the insurance company, and they're trying to pay. But it is a loan, you know. The government of Barbados, and that is one of the arrears, the government of Barbados has to pay that. It's not a grant. It is a loan to that company so that they have to help the people, the yes. those people who would have suffered, and those people made a private investment. A
yeah.
private investment. Yeah. Likewise here for government bonds, people mm-hmm. have made a private investment, okay? In an environment that yeah. really and truly was not the best.
But you already think that people are going to go forward again and put money in government bonds or debentures ever again? I don't think so.
Because they will lack the confidence, and I would agree with them. But you see, again, you have to look at the environment. Anytime you're going to invest, you have to look at the environment. And that is why some people, instead of...
thought that government would be a bad environment to invest this. So, I mean, this is really the pits, really.
Yeah, but you see, the whole thing about it is because at the same time, when people are going to invest, they do not ask a number of questions, right? And there are a number of questions that we all should be asking ourselves whenever we're going to invest. But for eons, whenever you put your money in the in bonds, it was not a problem. But the whole point is that the macro situation suggested, that ain't safe. They could have done better by putting it in the credit unions at that time.
Money they're giving back persons, they need to give the peer persons a higher percentage of their money that they worked so hard for, so that the persons could live. And it's ridiculous, and it is an embarrassment.
It is a real embarrassment, but at the same time, and it is a lot of pain for those people, those near 2,000 people who are involved, but at the same time, you need to understand the whole macro situation. And at the end of the day, even if somebody give you back, if you got 10% more than you, but over what you're getting now, you will tell me, but 10% ain't good enough, I want 20. So it is never an ideal situation, all right? Anyhow, ma'am, thank you very much for your question, and I really understand your frustration. I've had a couple of people call me directly and talk to me about the horrors that they are going through now, and it cannot be easy. And, you know, there's no easy answer here. So just let's hope that the government can find some way to deal with this, but really and truly, at the end of the day, you got to look and see the environment in which that money was, those bonds were put out, and it was not the best environment. We take another call. Good afternoon, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Yes, we're getting a lot of ladies today. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead with your question.
My question
or statement.
Being a non-nationally Barbados, living for over 20 years and paying NAS contribution, when it's time for me to receive a pension, would I be eligible to receive one if I'm only a resident?
I am not sure. I would have to find out from the NAS that. I really don't know.
Okay, because I've been calling, and I'm not getting anyone.
All right. Thank you very much for asking that question, because it is one of the things that I would like this government to seriously examine, because I think it's unfair to people like yourself who are non-nationals. You don't have residence, or you have resident status, but
yes,
you're not a citizen. You're paying taxes.
Yes, NAS.
Right? NAS, and you're paying income tax as well. But
yeah.
yet, if you go to the hospital, you are not afforded the same treatment as a citizen, because
you have to pay for everything.
Yeah, but yet you're paying your taxes. It is unfair,
yes.
And it is one of those things that need to be rectified.
Yes, it is.
Right. Please stay on the line, okay? And we'll try to take a number from you, and we'll try to get an answer for you, okay? So Dennis will speak to you now. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. You're on the air. 4341790. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, thank you. What I think is unfair is that private citizens entered into a contract with the government when they purchased bonds, and the government willy-nilly breached that contract. I think that the group, the 2,000 people, should get together and bring a class action suit against the government, because I think the government breached a contract that had set terms. And I think it's unconscionable that they would do that. And then to hear some moderators trying to defend the government's move and putting blame on the previous government, I think that is also unconscionable, because no one forced this administration to make the decisions they made. They decided to go this course. So why is it that everyone is trying to heap all the blame on the previous administration? I think that is also unconscionable. But I encourage all those bondholders to get together, get a good lawyer, and bring a class action suit against this government for breach of contract. I thank you.
Hello?
I'm still here.
Oh, good. Please stay on the line, because I really want to engage you. Now, let me give you the first one. I am not defending the government. The action has been taken. It is what it is.
Hold on.
Don't try that, because I can see a googly from a mile away. Okay. The fact about the matter is, and I want those of you listening to think for yourselves. Okay. You have a situation where the government of the last government was spending much more money than they were earning. But most Barbadian governments have been doing that over the last several years. The last one really took the cake of that. I am not going to get into the whys and wherefores because I'm not going off on a tangent.
To have conversations on the radio with the moderators nowadays is that they seem not to want you to make your point. You all have the ear. You all are the moderator. You will get your point across. I am the caller. I think it's respectful that you all let us make our point. And then if after we are gone and you all want to elaborate, fine. But to continue cut us off and not let us talk.
But I'm not cutting you off. I'm simply saying to you, okay, you threw something out there which needs to be discussed. I am trying to discuss it. You want to introduce something else. You want to introduce something else to take us off on a tangent. If you say X, let me deal with X, then we can deal with Y. Okay?
We do it your way. Go ahead, thank you. It's your show. We do it your way. Go ahead.
I'm simply saying that when you have a situation, you see that, and then you see everything that's meaning, which I talked about first, the making the commercial banks put more money in, then you were actually printing money that was being said for a number of years. You, like in my case, I look at the central bank report, I can look at the figures and I can see that. Now, I decided that I would not invest in those bonds for that reason. I could only decide for me. Now, if I were not in a position to read and understand what I was reading, the probability is, like most people who would have had an excess of amount of money and wanted to invest that money, the logical place would be to go for those bonds. And because the interest rate was good, and in comparison, I mean, it was fantastic in comparison to what you were getting at the banks, all right? So I understand why people did that. Second thing that you raised about the government breached the contract. I would think that if people feel very strongly, that is what they should do. They should take the government to court on the matter. That is what the courts are there for. And, the thing about it is that a lot of us...
So you are supporting my call then?
What?
You seem to be supporting my call that persons that are aggrieved should get together and bring a class action suit against the government.
I am saying that if people feel that strongly, just like how June Fowler and the group that got together dealing with Clico... Likewise, that is what you should do. That is what the law courts are there for.
And that is what I'm encouraging them to do.
All right. Why didn't you not take any? Did you take any of the bonds?
No. Why didn't you? Have much disposable income.
But you don't have to have much disposable income if you want to. Look, the investment was a very simple one. Hold on a second. No. Don't run. Let us engage. If you say you didn't have much disposable income, no. you would have got $100, and you for $100, I think you used to pay like $78 or something like that. So your cash was actually $78, and you got $100 worth of bonds, so that you can actually see the benefits of it. So you didn't take any.
I don't understand where you're taking these.
No, I'm taking. Anyway, you go ahead.
If we can go back on track here,
I think. Are you on track?
Unconscionable the decisions that this government
made,
and then they are blaming the previous administration for forcing them.
So what was the alternative?
I disagree.
What was the alternative?
Thank you. You see that you're doing it again. Can I please finish the point I'm making? Then we can go to the alternative. I think that this government should take responsibility for the decisions that they came in and made, and not blame it on the previous administration. The previous administration did not force the Prime Minister to default on our foreign debt. The previous administration did not force the Prime Minister to do what she has done to these bondholders. They decided that this was the best course that they saw fit, and they went with it. But do not blame the previous administration for your decisions. That is all. And that is what I'm hearing coming through every day. Every day, they are apportioning blame to the previous administration. Stop it.
But, sir, and you know, I do not believe in default personally. But this is the situation that the government faced.
All right, let's talk about that.
When they came into office, there was $400 million of foreign exchange there. And they had a $160 million payment to be made in 2 weeks. And that has nothing to do with all the gas you have to buy, the medicines, the food, and everything else you need. That was the situation being faced.
Finish your point.
Well, I don't have to say anything else. They had to make a decision. And they made that decision. They have to take responsibility for that. But I support that decision. I don't really like the default. I don't like the default. But the whole point about it is that I could understand why that decision was taken.
Can I go now?
Go right ahead.
No, I disagree with the decision that was made. I don't think we had to default. It is the first time in the country's history that we have defaulted on foreign debt.
It's the first time in the country's history we had 22 downgrades too.
Can I finish? I just want you to notice that when you made your point, I did not interrupt you. I let you make your point so people can understand what you were saying. If you would extend the same courtesy to me, I would be obliged. As I was saying, sir, we did not have to default. We chose to default. As you just pointed out, we had enough money that we could have made the foreign debt payment. And if my memory serves me correct, I believe the former government strategy, a poor strategy at that, but their strategy was to sell the Hilton and sell the National Terminal Company to make up that foreign exchange needed to pay that foreign debt. The Barbados Labour Party won the government and decided that, okay, we are not going to sell the Hilton, we are not going to sell BNOC, but we are going to default on debt. I think that was the wrong decision to make, and that's the point I'm trying to make here.
And you've made your point, sir. And I really don't agree with you, because I do not think that we should be looking to sell off our assets unless it's the last resort. You are interrupting me now. Could you do me the courtesy of letting me finish? The key thing about it is that all I'm interested in is what was the alternative. I have sat with a number of economists, and because my concern is my future is being mortgaged here. And I'm speaking personally, and I think I'm speaking for thousands of Barbadians. Our future is being mortgaged here. And I want to be sure about what alternatives, and every scenario put down there shows it's going to be a worse future. And that is why I would support what action was taken. All right?
Okay, so you are saying, if I'm reading you clearly, you're saying that selling some of your state assets that you don't need necessarily need to own was a bad move, and you're saying defaulting was a better move? Am I reading you clearly?
What I'm saying is that this it would be a short-term move, and really and truly, the time limits involved to get that sale done, it really wouldn't make much sense.
But frankly, you're changing the discussion now to time limits.
No, I am not changing discussion. No, there's a time limit right now on you because I really got to go to take a commercial break.
Yeah, you're running now. Go ahead.
I am not running. I would love to engage you because it's people like you that come with these things that need to be
debated.
No, because I had you on too long and I got six calls.
Go ahead,
you will say that because you want to have the last word and say that. But I am not running.
Have a nice day, sir. Have a nice day.
No, you have a nice day. We have to take a commercial break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome
back.
Yes, Ray, you're on the air. Good afternoon.
Let me compliment you and Dr. Maskell for the excellent program you had today. I know it was very challenging because the subject you dealt with produced some very angry people. But let me say this in all fairness to Dr. Maskell. He was forever preaching about the wrong policies of the central bank and the government in general. And he warned about these things, and no one listened to him. Now it is left to the present government, and I'm not a supporter of either government. I stand on the sidelines. Now that the government is faced with this dire situation, there are people who made decisions. I did not, and you did not, because we realized that you could not have been paying 7.5% or 7.25% on government bonds when the government was busy printing money and borrowing from everybody they can. So it was bound to be failed. And I did advise a few of my friends against buying the bonds and the treasury bills. But people are greedy, and they went ahead and made that big mistake. It was not Dr. Maskell's fault. It was not the present government's fault. But now that we are seeking to correct this, they're going to have to bear the brunt of the venom that is coming out here. And it is really wrong, and I hope that Barbadians will understand and at least hold a little strain if we expect to get out of this thing at all. The other matter
Before you go on to the next matter, you said people are greedy. People were greedy. I wouldn't say that. When you have a lump sum of money, you want the best returns. And as you rightly said, you and I, obviously, we looked at all the whole environment before we actually put any money anywhere. And that's why I didn't do it. You obviously didn't do it that way either. I understand the anger. I understand, too, that some people will be calling here trying to suggest, it's this present people's fault. But the reality is the environment was wrong for it. And you can come with, whether you're partisan or not, if you're one of these people who are hurting, I can understand that. But the reality is when you sit down and you look at it with 2020 vision, you can see it was not the best environment to invest in bonds. That's the truth.
That was something that I saw. I did a little bit of training in this thing. I remember one of my professors have always warned about that. If you are in an environment where interest rates are going down, and the bank was leading the charge there, and then suddenly someone is going to come up and give you these extraordinary interest rates, you have to say, well, how can this happen? It doesn't happen. So especially if that someone, whether it's government or private individual, has to go there and borrow and print and do all things like that. You know, I blame, if they blame the proportion, those people who manage the central bank, because they knew that it was going to come to this sooner or later. But for convenience, it was done. And then these people now have to carry the brunt of all this invective and people not understanding what happened to their country and why it happened. I'm saying to the government, go ahead, you're going to have to take the blunt of all this, but you have to go ahead, because if you falter now, this country will never recover, and it's going to put us in a worse situation. Now, could I just mention my second point?
Yes, go right ahead.
I know Dr. Maskell is a great fan of public works programs, But I would like quietly to say to him that when we are doing public works programs, we are seeing worldwide that there's an opportunity for graft, there's an opportunity for bad work and overruns. So these programs must be carefully controlled from the word go. Otherwise, what is what might good might have come from the programs may end up to be a bad thing. I know programs have been very successful in other countries. Those countries have all the resources, the material, the people, the machines that they produce there, and they produce the results. Here, we have to import most of the components, and therefore we have to be using a lot of foreign exchange. So we have to measure that against the returns from these public works programs, and we have to control them tightly from the word go. So that is why my advice about that part of it.
All right, sir. And your point is well taken. I agree with you totally. All right, have a great day, and thanks for holding so long. We take another call. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Mr. Price, I'm back with you. I was just going to hit it earlier.
No, your call just dropped out, and I do apologize, but it just dropped out because...
Yeah. And I know, Mr. Ambassador...
Maskell.
I mean, Maskell is on there. Anyhow, I won't go in at all the points I want to make. I was going to a point where you say, use the word, say, seduced. I like that word. And all the callers there, you had a caller there saying he should carry the government to court, you know, a class action suit. Mm-hmm. Utter nonsense.
No, that's what the courts are there for. If you have, as a citizen, if you have a concern, a worry, are you vexed about something, you challenge it in court. That is what you do.
All right, good. Point taken. But let me explain something to you. This is my way of saying it. Back then, there was a situation where the central bank allowed the commercial banks to do as they like, and interest rates were dropping. The government at the then time, in a cash-strapped situation, offered bonds and debentures and what's not. So as to more or less get, as you rightly say, seduce, allure people into buying them, and also saying the returns within 5 years. Am I right or wrong?
I can't remember the year of repayment, but, you know.
Right?
I
looked at it.
Sorry to cross you, but if you're encouraging people to buy anything, any sale of some sort, and you have attractive terms, you're trying to seduce people, you're trying to woo them into spending money with you. So that's why the term was used.
Right. But you think about it, I look at it clearly. And I said, you see this here? Boy, this is again backfire on a lot of people. And so said, so done. This administration now, this is part of the debt restructuring. Am I right or wrong?
It is part of the debt restructuring, but don't forget the pain. It is painful for people who took their money and put it there.
I agree.
In Clico. I mean, it isn't easy.
But in Clico, I was in Clico.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one when I got on at breakfast table, the news, I was listening to the news, and it came over that Lawrence Dupre was in Miami doing investments. I said, what? Lawrence Dupre in Miami? But you don't put big fish or small fish among big fish. The next month or so, I was in Clico asking to have my money. I didn't get all of it, but I get most of it. And I shut it down because I knew Clico was going to collapse. So as you rightfully said, you have to look at these things carefully. Analyze them, study them before you just go and take up money and put it anywhere.
Mm-hmm. You really have to.
No, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Dr. Mask in there, but this is what I realized I'm moving around. The people, the public is more interested at this point in time in three or four things. They are concerned with NAS monies, the NSRL removals, the land tax, where people are paying high land tax on lands that don't have a structure. Right? And they're hurting. I think our administration now, despite us to looking at certain things for domestic debt purposes, do something to ease the pain of these individuals. Because let me show you something. I have a lady say to me, I would like to build a house on the land I have there, but I can't. because every year you have to pay over $2,100 in land tax. I says, what? $2,100, just about up to pay more. My son paying about 32. And every year, and they got to pay that way, you can't buy blocks. Now tell me, where will you got a lot of land and the government to a land tax division will charge that kind of money? Because they're telling you, they want you to build a house on it? That's utter foolishness again. But there are lots of things that happen in this country. Mm-hmm. As rightfully said before, you know, we cannot get up and protest.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, thanks for sharing. But before you go, I just want you to know that in Trinidad, just a few days ago, Lawrence Dupre, the former executive chairman of CL Financial, he has been ordered by the High Court there to pay more than $122 million that he owed to British American Insurance, stemming from a $1.9 billion TT Green Island project he had in Florida. And he also, with that judgment, he has to, in addition to that, the amount, that sum, he's also ordered to pay an interest at a rate of 1.23% per annum from August 1st, 2017 to September 29th, 2017 in the sum of US$247,960.82 and further interest. So maybe we're seeing something happening at long, long last in relation to British American and Clico when it comes to some of these people who were intimately involved, who seem to have gotten off scot-free. Anyhow, this, you hear the theme, and Larry Mears is looking at me, telling me to get up out of his chair. I'm coming, Larry. This has been Brass Stats for Wednesday, October 3rd. I'm Sanka Price. I hope you enjoyed being with us. Again, I'd like to thank Dr. Clyde Maskell for agreeing to come in and to clear up a number of things with the NIS. I hope that we managed to learn something and get more information. And I would encourage all of you, as long as you have questions, feel free. Call us, ask those questions, as well as WhatsApp us. And then we will try to get the decision makers to come here to talk about it. That's what we're here for. Thank you.